Peace be with all of you. Today we'll receive the Word of God together, and after that we will observe the Holy Communion. Do you still remember what I preached last Sunday about contending for the faith? And so we talk about how lies come upon the world. The first question being mentioned in the Bible is the serpent telling the woman, "Did God really say?" Now, this is a very important question. And this is also the greatest mystery. When we always read Genesis chapter 3, where should we place the emphasis? Now, the crux of the matter is not whether humans eat or not eat the fruit. The problem is, humans doubted what God said. Whether is what God said true or what Satan said true? Now, the question is, did God really say? Is this whole Bible the Word of God? So when people add to or deduct or take away from this Bible and interpret the Bible with their own thinking and distort the truth of God, then chaotic and deviated and what is false will come in. And because humans deviated from this truth and the source of the truth, and that's why between person and person there are lies and distrust and also deceit. And so Adam and Eve, the moment they doubted God's word and the moment they ate the forbidden fruit, then strangely, the next move is they took the leaf of the fig trees and they covered themselves from each other. And so what's the meaning of cover? Meaning there is already dishonesty and deceit in human hearts. And when two persons are together, they can sense that the other party is not honest and you cannot trust the other person. And so they cover themselves from one another. And so when humans sin, the whole world, from the beginning of departing from the truth, then all kinds of lies appeared. All kinds of dishonest words and breaking of promises will happen. And so you deceive me, I also deceive you. I'm deceived and I also deceive others. And this, all these things filled the world. And so you will see that on earth, husband and wife, they deceive each other. Friends, they deceive each other. Nations, they are at war and they are deceiving one another. And even the church leaders deceive the members. Even church pastors also deceive the members. So we will see throughout the church history, there are cults and heresies, false teachings, false teachers, people who preach the wrong word. And they just share their own feelings and experiences. And such things fill the church of God. And so among believers and believers, what is the state we have fallen into? So our Lord Jesus, He came and He said, "I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the source of truth. What I say is the truth." And then He said, and He also demonstrated truth in His incarnate body and life. And He lived with His disciples. And within our Lord, there is no deceit ever. There's no falsehood. Our Lord, He Himself is the truth, and He brought the truth, and so that people can recognize the truth and understand what is the truth. And after that, He teaches people how to treat one another, so that we can keep our word with each other, so that we can be men of our words. So that is the example of our Lord. When people all oppose Him, when the Jews oppose Him, "Are you the Christ? If you are the Messiah, let us know." And Jesus said, "I've told you before, but you did not believe. And he never avoided this question. He never beat around the bush. And when he stood trial, the usual people will be afraid. And Pilate said, "Are you the king? I have the authority to set you free or to put you to death." And Jesus said, "I am the king. And I was born for this reason. And I came into the world to testify to the truth." So our Lord Jesus, he's not only the truth. He lived out the truth. And he lived out the most truthful life before men. And so what did Paul teach? He said, so when we love people, our love must be sincere. You need to put on a mask when you love others. Love must be sincere. And Ephesians chapter 4, Paul also said, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Because we are all bodies of one, we are all members of one body. And so among believers, we need not wear a mask and we need not tell lies. We need to plan against each other. We don't have to form cliques because we share the common views. Or we don't have to form different cliques. So a lot of falsehood and deceit and all this will bring about problems in the church. But what God showed us is not like this. So last week, we talked about contending for the faith. We are very good at debating, but you have to know that when truth is revealed to you, eventually is how do you live out the truth? The Holy Spirit comes to help you understand all truth, to enter all truth and live out all truth. So living out the truth means you and the person beside you, people around you, you need to keep your word with one another and not allow any falsehood. Now in the world today, if you talk about keeping your word with others, then if you're honest, then you're a silly person. Because people of the world talk about wisdom, about quick-wittedness. You need to have some cleverness. You need to have this. You need to be streetwise when you're with people. But when you talk about being wise and quick-witted, people give themselves the excuse. If you say one lie, you have to say five other lies to cover your first lie. Now, you need wisdom, but you must not wear a mask. You need wisdom, but not to use lies to handle things. When we have truth in our inward being, God will give us the wisdom in our heart to use true words and honest words and a character that keep our word, that we can win over people. Now, some people, they do business and they are dishonest and they evade tax. Some people, they go to work and they are unhappy and they have to wear a mask every day. And all this is because in their spirit, they do not feel it's real. Because they feel as if they are living in a world full of falsehood. So we know where there is lie, there that place is where the work of the liar, the devil, will be prevalent. So what kind of place is that? Now, in which place do you feel the work of the Satan is a lot? Now, in places of trade, sales and marketing, people want to earn your money. If you go to certain places where they keep talking about positive thinking, and they present very beautiful things and share how smart they are, how successful they are, and everyone is full of selfish desires. Everyone is wearing a mask. Everyone wanted their own things and they do not want people to know. Outwardly, they present a very noble image, full of compassion and morals. But within themselves, they keep wanting to cover their selfish desires. And this is in fact a place full of the evil spirit. But the Lord's church is definitely not like this. We all know we are weak. Each of us, we have fought in our words, and that's what the Bible told us. Amen? each of us, when we say certain things, we didn't do as we say. Every one of us, we have moments where we break our promise because of some temporary gains and benefits. And today, when I prepare this message, God's word illuminate me. Say, yes, we all go through this before. So we are living in this lying world, and the longer it is, the more evil we become more fearful and more wary of people, and the more we have to pretend ourselves as we live in this world. One day I come before the Lord and say, Lord, to be a Christian, one of the things that makes me most grateful as a Christian is in my whole life, I finally met someone who never lied to me, who never tell me a false word ever. And who is this person? He is none other than our Lord Jesus. He never lied. Every word of his word, every promise he made is fulfilled. When he say he is with us, he is indeed present. When he say he will certainly provide, the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not be in want, and he will surely supply us. And sometimes we ask, why is it that we cannot feel it? When we cannot feel it, that's because we use our own brains. We keep focusing on the problem, and by our own selfish desires, we want to receive certain things, we want to get more of certain things, and so we care more for that thing. But if you quiet down and you confirm with a truthful heart, whatever you need, you already have, and God already prepared. What you need, God has not withheld from you. But what you are greedy for, God didn't allow you to have. So many a times, because we are overwhelmed by the lies of the world, so when we see that others have and we see that we ourselves don't have, others have it good but we do not have it so well, so we start to doubt God's word. Did God really say? Is God really with us? Did God really provide? So many a times, our problem is none other than we start to doubt what God says. So slowly, on earth, we start to be someone who rack our brains and to acquire for ourselves, and so we started to lie also. But the truth brings us back to God, so that we can be someone who keep our word. Once, when I was with my family at home, and we are just talking, and my children said, Father, I want to buy this. Father, I want to buy that. I want to buy this pair of shoes. I want to buy that set of attire. And the mother suddenly say, all of you wanted to buy something? Have any one of you think of wanting to buy something for your father? Then my daughter said, he had everything, so what else to buy for him? So my daughter suddenly said this. So this greatly moved my heart. I say, Lord, sometimes even this preacher, when we live on earth, we have a lot of struggles and battles and worries and weaknesses, but sometimes we didn't realize it, and sometimes we feel we are unhappy, and it seems as if we do not have many things. But suddenly, when my child said this, that I have everything there, I say, yes, indeed, Lord, whatever I should have, I already have. So when this satisfaction comes to this heart, then man will not have any selfish desires and will not live in lack, or wanting to acquire certain things or value certain things too seriously. Because when we live on earth, we just want to bless others. When we live on earth, we want to live honestly. So God's word, is it real? Is God God who keeps his word? God is not just the truth, but he is also a God of his word, true to his word. So last week, we talked about contending for the faith. But as you're going to debate with others, You need to live out the truth to show others. A person who truly loves the truth and faithful to the truth, what kind of life is that? That is a man who keeps his word. Let's take a look at James chapter 1. Verse 26. James said, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." So in man's religiosity, James said that it has got to do with your tongue, what you said. And next he said, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to..." Is what? "Is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So dear brothers and sisters, what is the theme of the epistle of James? That is, a faith without deeds is dead. So faith and deeds go together. So many people, they talk a lot about many noble teaching. It's very beautiful, it's very noble truths, but when they see someone helpless beside them, they have no mercy and compassion on them. So the Bible not just tell us to listen to God's word, but also to live out the word of God. So we humans, we have deceit in us. We amen to God, but in fact, we are not truly dead. So in conclusion, James said in chapter 5, verse 12, "Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned." So this verse, we need to think through carefully. So what exactly is James trying to say? He's saying the most important thing above all. Now, the final and most important commandment that Jesus has left the disciples was to love one another. That is the most important new commandment. How the Lord loves you, you must also love one another. But in terms of loving one another, the Lord said a lot of things about, like the Sermon on the Mount, about committing adultery, about hating brother, about not repaying a tooth for a tooth. The Lord said many things, so we keep asking. So what is the most important essence of love? So love is not lip service. So James also mentioned you need to be practical about love. So what is the most important and practical thing about love? So what the Lord deemed as true godliness, what is that? The most important summary. He talked about a lot of theological things and doctrinal things. I know a faith without deeds is dead. And eventually he said the most important thing is, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now to the Old Testament Jews, a person who tells the truth is also at the same time a person who keeps his word. Can you understand this? Now, what you say is true. What you say is the fact and the reality. But it's not enough. The person who speaks this truth, are you someone who keeps your word? So from this, we will know that in terms of loving people, What is the most important and basic thing? You don't have to think too far. You don't have to go to Africa to help many people without houses or build houses for them. You don't even need to mention that yet. But the most important thing is you ask yourself. Every day you speak a lot of words. But in terms of loving others, each of us, what we lack the most is to keep our word. We are not someone who keep our word, who keeps our word. So a lot of times, we are just perfunctory toward God, and we just amen to God without knowing, without understanding what is it that we are amening. After saying amen, next we need to look at how to serve the Lord and testify for the Lord, and how do we shepherd people and brethren who need it. Now, widow and orphans are beside us, but we don't care about them. This is just being perfunctory toward God, and we are just deceiving God, and we didn't keep our faith with God, and we are also perfunctory toward men. We always do that. So you ask, what is the thing you hated most? Once I called all my children over and I told them that Father is very angry with all of you, and what I'm angry is you didn't do what you say. I asked you to wash the dishes, you say okay, but you didn't do it. Tidy the room or practice the piano, you always say okay, but you never carry it out. Had it ever occurred to you that when you say okay, you need to keep your word? You just want to you're just being perfunctory and just being superficial. And so in the family, from this small matter, when people didn't keep their word, people say it and didn't do it, and after that it will lead to a lot of repercussion and consequence, and people will get angry and wounded every time I mention and you didn't follow up. So in the family, little quarrels become huge fights. So actually in the family, think about it. Whatever you say, okay, you need to do your best to carry out. Whether you're tired or there's difficulties, you need to do it. Because I already mentioned, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. So starting from here, you understand what is meant by loving people. This is the most basic expression of loving others. So after James talk so much, he used this to conclude, because we look at the sins of the world, people divorce and destroy the marital vow, and they break contracts, and people lie to one another, tell false words to each other, curry favor each other, and after saying all these things, you didn't keep your word. Your word is without value. So after that, people want to sue others and they want to fight and argue because you didn't keep your word. And so in the church, also the same thing. It's about trust. I love the co-workers who told pastor, okay, leave it to me, and you don't have to question the person again, because the co-worker value his promise to me more than my instruction to him. Such co-workers are people whom we can give thanks for, because he knows the truth and he lives out the truth. But brothers and sisters, we humans, how many of us are like this? So this James, when he said this, who is he? Who is James? Now, James is the brother of our Lord Jesus. So now the brother of Jesus, James, said this. And he's most qualified to say this because James was not just with Jesus for 3.5 years, but he grew up with Jesus. Of course, in the past, he only knew Jesus as his brother, but when he reflected back in the process of Jesus growing up, how he treated parents, siblings, friends, and neighbors, every one of them. In his smallest promise, Jesus also valued it, and each of his words is valuable. And he didn't exaggerate his words. Some people, they exaggerated their words. It seems like to want to deceive people. So certain things that he couldn't do it, then he will explain. Because Jesus lived on earth, he's confined by time and physical constraints. So he explained when he cannot deliver certain things. I cannot imagine someone who never failed to keep his word. I never imagined how it is like. You just think about it. It's like no such humans exist in the human world except Jesus. So when James recalled how Jesus treated his parents and people around him, if he said to a neighbor, if you need whatever, I will bring it to you tonight. No matter what, he will deliver that night. He won't give excuses like he's too tired or wait until tomorrow. So James, at this moment, when he concluded, he said that our Lord, he's not just the truth, but he is a God who is completely faithful to his words. And so he's worthy of our trust and faith. And thank God for that. And so just now I mentioned, in the church, when we see this scene, we understood why James said that true religion is you not just talk about the faith and truth after loving one another. After that, what's next? You must immediately see which people need you to love and shepherd and take care of. I'm willing to love my wife. And so you already mentioned in the marital vow, so when she's at her weakest, because you made that vow before, no matter how she becomes, you still love her. Even though your heart is uncomfortable, you respect her, you support her, help her, and guide her. So those of us who are married, are we like that? Those of us, have we made such marital vow? If you've made that vow before, you have entered into a marital covenant. And so we need to understand what is the truth. Once during preaching, I understood that all along, pastor always said that we need to know the truth and be equipped with the truth. Then we go through classes and we get equipped with 36 lessons and we understand the Bible systematically. Now, logically, this is what we do. We should be doing this and that. But after that, those who truly understood the truth will live it out. And so the first thing to live out is what? So God, through us, reflected God's image because we are created in the image of God. So the moment you look at humans, you can see the image of God. Another thing is humans' words. Because and God's words. Because in the beginning, God used His words to create the whole world. Let there be light, and there is light. So human words, although we are not all-powerful like God, but we have, after we know this Lord, so what we say, we must do our best to keep our word. And if we do that, we thank God. Such a person, he values the conviction that God has given his heart. He also values how he responds by his mouth and tongue. So the Bible tells us that if a person has no fault with his tongue, then he's a perfect person. So my dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand all these things together. Now, in the various circumstances that we face, we have to ponder upon our relationship with people. We need to consider what our Lord Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5, now our Lord talk about taking an oath. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath. You take an oath and then you break the oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. To who? To the Lord. Now, we Christians, before the Lord, we talk to people. And if we say, I will certainly do that, then you must fulfill. But I tell you, do not swear at all. Now, it tells us not to take an oath. Do not swear at all. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool. because everything on earth belongs to God. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Let's read the next verse. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So do you understand what these verses are saying? So it talks about two things. One is about breaking the oath, taking up, and the other one is taking an oath. Now, is it very terrible for someone to break their oaths? Yes, indeed. Now, in Singapore, if you take a scholarship to go overseas to study 5 years and you refuse to serve the country even though you have signed the contract and bond, if you do that, you cannot even take up any government position because Singapore values highly on men's promises. The more a country is governed by the law, the more the country will value men's promises. Now, you do not talk about all these things, just breaking contract. Some people, they break marital vows. Some people, they go through baptism and they profess their faith. And they profess that they will be committed to the heavenly throne, heavenly kingdom and to the church. After 2 weeks after baptism, they disappeared from the church. Once a husband and wife, one is baptized, another is not yet Christian. All along, I didn't solemnize such marriage. So the sister said, I'm at the age, I really want to... No, so the sister told me, no, Pastor, I will keep coming to church. So now the two of them want to get married before God. So the partner said that he is in the process of believing. So I said, how do I prove that you're in the process of believing? At least you need to keep coming to church. So when you hear the truth, then you are able to believe the truth. So that's my only exception. My only exception to conduct that solemnization, that matrimony. After that, in less than 6 months, I slowly stopped seeing them. After that, they have given birth and they completely disappeared. I tried to find them a few times and they didn't respond to me. So in my heart, then why do you need to go through the matrimony before the Trinity God? You just go for simple solemnization will do. Now, in the name of the Lord, you do this. You make the vow and you make the promise to pastor. So we are breaking our oaths. And so people have a lot of grievances when it comes to breaking of promises. So people who break the oaths are terrible. But now God also say you also shouldn't take up an oath, shouldn't swear. Now we know we shouldn't break oaths. These are terrible things. But how about taking an oath? Some people think that it's okay to swear or take up oaths. The Lord said it's not okay. Because whether you are breaking an oath or taking up an oath, because all this comes from the deceit from your heart. What is taking an oath or swearing? Some people swear by heaven or by the earth. And I tell you, if this didn't turn out true, then I will suffer certain consequences. Sometimes when I buy certain things on Carousell, I ask, you know, brother, you know, is your this pair of shoes genuine? And he said, if this is fake, I will eat it up. So he's taking an oath. So in my heart, I'll be thinking, can you even consume this? So you want to take an oath, but by what are you swearing? Can you do it? You cannot even control whether your hair turn white or black. And how do you control hair fall also? So if you cannot do that, why are you taking up oath? Because in your heart, you know there are lies in your heart. You have deceive people, you have also been deceived. So there is deceit in your heart. So now you're afraid that people do not believe in you. So you say some more and you want to prove some more. But the Lord said, whether you break an oath or take an oath, it's all not up to God's standard. What God tells us is, the value of your words is the important, is the most important. Let your yes be yes, no be no. Isn't this beautiful? So, our Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you need to read it carefully. Do not just read it as a legalistic and do away with it. Some people, they read the Bible in that way. That is a terrible way to read the Bible. There's a lot of insights and wisdom from the Word of God. We may not do it, but we may not be able to do it, but we must rely on the Holy Spirit who is with us, understand His grace and walk with Him. And in the process, you realize you become a more and more truthful person. Now, this is a deceitful world which is not honest, and there's a lot of breaking of promises. People not just break the oath, and people want to swear or take an oath to convince people. So usually people, salespeople of the world, they do that. Usually who will we trust more? We will trust people who don't talk too much to you. You ask this person, how much is this? He say $100. $101 can or not? If you want to take it, if not, you don't take it. We tend to buy from such people because we feel he is very real and honest. But relatively, he seems to be more convincing. So if people say, if this is fake, no, I sell you my whole shop. If such people don't believe in him, they may always lie. So our Lord taught us this. But now we have to ask a question. We are all weak. And we are lacking in many areas. Because the Lord tells us, if we say some more, then it comes from the evil one. Because the devil is the father of lies. So if you have this insinuation to, and you're afraid that people do not believe in you, or if you say something, then you wonder whether you'll be able to fulfill in future. So you just exaggerate it so that people can temporarily believe in you right now. So that kind of attitude already has the insinuation of the devil and the work of the devil. The person who is illuminated by the truth, he knows his inner heart very well. When he knows there's a little deceit in him, he will not continue saying further. And he will face the situation very honestly. Yes and yes will be yes, no will be no. Then you say, like this, we will suffer loss. But no, over time, people will know you. People will understand that when this person say okay, he will do it. When he say it's not okay, he cannot do it. Now, pastor is also not perfect. But this is at least our relationship with co-workers, we must be like this. So my promise to you, my prayers to you, will not because of giving in to myself, then I break it. But at least in my promise to you, my prayers for you, I will keep praying for this and allow a certain co-workers in he or her domain and serving to continue to progress. But eventually, what is it? Co-workers understand that pastor is a man of his word, not just teaching the truth. So sometimes I realize in the church, they have some this strange thinking. I do not trust. Some people say that I do not trust leaders because leaders of the world, they keep lying. So whether it's to the leaders of the nation or leaders of the church, they all think that they are liars. Everyone up there, they are like belonging to the devil. Because this person has ever been deceived by people above him. And so he's wounded. And so because of this, he also didn't really trust people so much. So that is also his own problem. Now the deceiving leaders, they themselves is also a problem because of their deceit. They brought about so much wounds and hurts. So in the church, arena, we also know that many a times as church leaders, in terms of money and sex, when they fell, it's not just they fell, but after they fell, they use a lot of lies to cover themselves. So when you think of that sin, you feel miserable because you are deceived. But you say, so how do we, through Christ, come before God and be someone who is truthful? So other than knowing the truth, we must first understand the honesty and integrity brought about by the truth. How do we pursue this before God? In particular, we need to worship the Lord in truth and break away from our nature of falsehood. Now, many a times, those of us who already knew the truth, because of the weakness of our sinful nature, sometimes we are fearful, so we will lie as a result of that. Sometimes we have a lot of calculations, or we are accused in our heart. We are afraid that people will criticize us, so we start to be a bit deceitful. For example, Adam, after he ate the fruit, then God asked him, "What do you eat?" He immediately pushed the responsibility to the woman. Actually, just now, he himself also wanted to eat. And then Abraham, what happens? Even the father of faith, he brought the wife to Egypt, and she was too beautiful, and he was afraid that because of the wife, he might be killed. So he told the wife to say that she's his sister. So even the father of faith, he will also had certain weakness like this. So this is human nature. So other than Jesus Christ himself, no man is perfect. So we all have our weaknesses. So after David committed adultery and he repented, and after that, he said, "My sin is always before me. I already have sin in my mother's womb." And after that, he, in Psalms 51 verse 6, David said, "You delight the truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." So these are words of wisdom. So what you delight is the truth in the inward being. And so after he repented from his adultery and murder, he knew that when I was doing all these things, because I've sinned and I was accused, and I'm afraid that people knew it. But worse than that is later on I want to cover and hide what I've done. So when he repented, he said, "I've already lost what you have taught me with your truth and law. I've lost that kind of honesty. So in the course of sinning, I gave in to the lies. So Lord, please help me restore the truth in my inward being." And when that happened, then in the secret place, you will give me wisdom. When you lie, that's because you do not know how to handle the situation and you're afraid. And you lost wisdom and you rack your brains, you use human methods to harm people. But if you are truthful and depend on the Lord with a true heart, then wisdom will come to help you cope with the situation. And you no longer need to wear a mask before men, and when you do business and or with your colleagues, you know how to face people. So the wisdom from heaven will be given to you. So if you keep wanting to use earthly wisdom, then it won't do. Because the more successful you are on earth, you may become more deceitful. So the Lord says, God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So what does this mean? He is spirit. He's living in human hearts. He fathoms all the thoughts of men. David said, Whether I sit or when I rise, you perceive my thoughts. God knows everything. So when you worship Him, what should you worship with? Of course, not with outward rituals, but first, worship with your spirit, in your spirit. And next, you also need to worship Him in truth, with a truthful spirit. Now, truth has two meanings. So truth has two meanings. So truth is translated to in truth. Truth is truth in English. But this truth is not based on your feelings, but it's based on God's revealed words. Now, a lot of people worship God with their feelings. That's wrong. So it must based on God's truth, which He reveals. And the second thing is the truth in the inward being. So when the truth enlightens you, you must be very real. Your hidden thoughts, hidden motive within you, you must be very clear. Lord, I have no way to be fake or false before you. So, toward men, I need to let my yes be yes, no be no. So if you train yourself in, if you do not train yourself in this, if you do not bring a humble heart before God to pray in this way and meet Him and worship Him in truth, then especially in this fast-paced and ever-changing society, then people keep earning money and people keep wanting to accumulate for this world. And internet, you also hear how this person is successful, that person is successful. When all these things come to you, do you realize that within you, you start to have a lot of selfish desires? And when selfish desires come, then the spirit of lie will work. So some people will say, now I cannot find true bosom friend. Everywhere we go, people are wearing masks. A sister ever said to me, when I wear a mask at work, I still wear a mask in church. It's very difficult. So in the church, when God's truth is being preached, each of us should become people who love one another with a truthful heart. And then when we worship God, in you also know my weakness, I also know your situation, then we intercede for one another. That is a foundation for loving one another. But if you don't pray, it's very hard for us to do it. Because we have the sinful root, the root of sin. And we also have our upbringing, environment, and background. Those who grew up in China, they have their kind of mindset, the way they deal with people and matters. When you grow up in Singapore, you have that kind of fear of losing out, a fear of being left behind. If you grow up in United States, you have another kind of mindset. So we are living in this sinful world, creating our own culture of lies. So only when the Word of God comes, then the culture of heaven comes to us, then we can treat each other honestly and truthfully. Finally, I can only say this. Every time when you hear the Word of God, you must tell yourself, how should my life meet you and produce a truthful heart to be a man who keeps my word? And finally, I give you a few indicators. If you are someone in Christ and you are more and more truthful, who keep your word, your yes is yes, your no is no, a few characteristics you will see. Such a person, when you are with him, first, you realize it's not a matter of his character. It's not whether he has a good character and who doesn't lie. Some people, they assess people in that way. No, it's actually in his heart, he already has this truth that comes from God, which is absolute and unchanging. No matter how good a character a person has, he cannot overcome the world. So a person, if he didn't have the truth that comes from God, which is absolute and unchanging, and if he didn't have that kind of truth as the guide in his heart, then he wouldn't be able to keep his word. So this is a foundation to keep one's word. So if you didn't really read the Bible and you just worship God with your feelings, you will not be a truthful person. Slowly, when you live with the people of the world in business, then you will start to copy people with good sales tactics or coping strategies. So once again, you come to church. Most importantly, you must open the Bible. This Bible is God-breathed, is useful for rebuking, correcting, and admonishing, and turning people to do good, teaching people to do good. It turns us from worldly methods to God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness. And second, a person who keeps his word, you will see another characteristic. That is, for his whole life, at least from the time he knows the Lord and the truth, from beginning to end, he is consistent. He is consistent. When a person who knows the truth for the day one, from day one, he preached the truth all the way till finally before he leaves up to the day he leaves the world, the way he testified the truth will not change. You will not say, you will not hear Pastor Chu mention, no, dear brothers and sisters, let's off the light. Whatever sorrows we have, let's pour out before God. I wouldn't say that. That means I've lost my soul if I one day say that. So you will surely be consistent. And the best example in the Bible is Daniel. Since young, Daniel was taken as a captive to Babylon, and he served 5 dynasties. There's a lot of ups and downs in his life, but he never changed. When he was successful, or when he was very lowly, he didn't compromise. He didn't drink or eat the food and drink of the king. When he was successful, and he became a ruler, he still remained the same. Somebody want to frame him, he was still the same. He went back home, opened the window, and prayed toward Jerusalem. Do you realize this? Now, which of you have very consistent people beside you? Christians are the most inconsistent people. So they are like two-headed snake. So we Christians, that's where we should repent. When you're with the people of the world, if you're very cunning, people will surely say one thing. Are you like a Christian? Because their understanding of Christians and people who they have a very noble standard toward Christians who know the truth of God. Because they will think that no matter what, Christians are genuine, they may be weak, suddenly they lose their temper, but they are one consistent person, one consistent belief, one consistent pursuit. So no matter, even if they lose their temper with others, they will still love the person. So you give people this vibe that no doubt, you are a mortal, you are human, but you are someone with truth and faith. So you are consistent. And I pray that this happens to us. And third, you will not be afraid of suffering loss because of being true to your word. Especially in this internet age. Every time when you buy things, this person sells this to me. After that, he sells to others. You know, that's what happens when you deal at Carousell. You know, you have strike a deal with a person, and then after that, they changed their mind. Because the world will tempt us. Sometimes the promises we gave others. I also told my wife that one principle of dealing online. If I told a person this price, I will pay this price. If someone found a cheaper thing, I already made the promise, I will keep my word. So this is one restraint I set for myself. No matter what, if one talk about being honest, it's not just honesty on stage. So to people of the world, at least I need to have this basic policy. Of course, you can negotiate to lower the price, but after you have given your promise, people will know that you are a person who keep your word. And I pray that whether you're serving the Lord or treating people, you're also like this. Eventually, you will get something more important and precious than materials. That means you will get true bosom friends, just like Daniel and his 3 friends, just like David and Jonathan. their relationship is not because of external gains. No, Jonathan's father, Saul, wanted to kill David, but he and David has this relationship. They have this loyalty to each other. So sometimes when I read the Bible, I really envy, because this is the earthly relationship that comes from knowing the truth. And so it comes from the honesty toward each other. And all this must come from Christ and the truth. So finally, I want to say, the newer friends who come among us in the last 1 or 2 years, and when you come, you are just observing how is the church culture, how is the elders like, deacons and pastor is like. At least you see that they are faithful to do what is required. So when people is unfamiliar, there's a lot of doubts and they just want to observe first. But today, this sermon, when I preach it, I want you to understand that in the church, when we talk about God's word, although everyone is imperfect from pastor to everyone else, at least there's this culture of keeping one's word and being truthful. Now, this attribute of being truthful comes from God, and after believing in Christ and in His truth, at least we need to be influenced by this attribute so that we can also pursue to be truthful to each other with a truthful heart and treat each other with a truthful heart. And gradually you will know that this church is like this. Those of us who serve the Lord, we are not like pushing people to do it. Some people you pressurize him to do. Pastor said once, he didn't listen. At the 10th time, then they will want to do it. This kind of culture is your words has no value. So you just say, do what you say and don't grumble. And after you have done it, you feel it's a bit tough, you can feedback to pastor, you know, this is tough. Then, okay, then we can see how to adjust. Then there's mutual respect. So what is your bottom line and what is my bottom line? What is my demand? What can you do? Then you come to, as you live together, it depends on the value of the words, the promise, the trust, and you trust each other's words. And that's a very beautiful culture of loving one another. May the Lord bless all of you. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you today. You have given us your word. And yes, we know that none of us is perfect other than God yourself. But we want to imitate you. Lord, please personally help us. Although our church, we have a number of us whom we do not know long, but only for a few years. And this 1 or 2 years, in your name, we gather, we worship together. Lord, you value our truthfulness toward each other in our inner heart. So starting from our words, please use your blood to cleanse us so that we can treat each other with integrity and truthfulness. And there's a lot of falsehood in our heart, or because of fear or helplessness, we sometimes are deceitful. Lord, please remove those things so that no falsehood remain among us, but we are willing to love one another. We are willing to open our ears to hear the words of one another and value the words that comes from one another. And among us, there could be certain grumbling. Please have mercy on us and remove this so that this church can be a church with mutual respect and with mutual love and grace. Lord, please work. Lord, we thank you and give you all the glory. Today, as we observe this Holy Communion together, we want to be in union with you and in union with the other brethren. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.